to turn to the book of Acts, chapter 3, book of Acts, chapter 3. We'd like to read the first 12 verses. Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, Look on us. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up. And immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he leaping up stood and walked and entered it with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. And when they knew that it was he which sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him. And as the lame man which was healed held Peter and John, all the people ran together unto them in the porch that is called Solomon's, greatly wondering. And when Peter saw it, he answered unto the people, Ye men of Israel, why marvel ye at this? Or why look so earnestly on us, as though by our own power or holiness we had made this man to walk? Now, these verses are preliminary to the verses that we'll use for our text. But what we have here is the Holy Spirit-inspired historical record of an actual event, something that really happened on a particular day, in a particular place, at a particular time, to a particular man. It is a story of a miraculous, life-changing event. Everything about it is real. Everything about it happened. But it's not just a fact in history. What we read here typifies and illustrates the greatest, the most magnificent, the most amazing, the most awe-inspiring miracle of all, the salvation of a sinner. What we have here, again, it is a historical fact, but it is meant to teach us, it is meant to preach to us, it is meant to convey to us the truth of the salvation of a helpless, guilty sinner, and that salvation is found only in Jesus Christ. The setting of what we have just read is stated in verses 1 and verse 2. We see that Peter and John, they are together, they are going into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. Now, the custom of the religious Jews was to come to the temple to pray three separate time frames throughout a day. There was the third hour, which was 9 in the morning. There was the sixth hour, which would have been noon. And then there was the ninth hour, which is what we have here in Acts chapter 3 and verse 1, and that, of course, would be about 3 o'clock in the afternoon. So we have Peter and John arriving at the gate of the temple at about 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Outside of that gate, we read in verse 2 that there was a certain man lame from his mother's womb. How he got there was he was carried, we read in verse 2, and that he was laid there daily at the gate of the temple. The reason he was carried there, the reason he was laid there every single day, is also stated in verse 2, and that was to ask alms. So this man was placed there to beg for charitable donations from religious people who were going into the temple to pray. From Acts chapter 4 and verse 22, we learn that this man who is lame from his mother's womb, who has been carried and laid at the gate of the temple to ask of alms, that he was over 40 years old. So this has been going on for some time. Now, the miraculous incident of the passage is found in verses 3 through verse 8. As Peter and John are making their way toward the temple, and as they arrive at the gate of the temple, which was called Beautiful, they come to a stop. And the reason they come to a stop is verse 3, this man saw Peter and John, and he began to ask for alms. Any spare change for a lame man? The sound of this man's voice and the sight of this man brought them to a stop. And we read that in verse 4, they fastened their eyes upon this man. They are looking at him intently. And they say, "Look on us." This man, like most street beggars in any city, no doubt is sitting there, his head is down, he is not making eye contact with anybody that passes by. He's got his bucket or whatever he's got, and he's looking down at the ground, and Peter and John stop, and they say, "Look at us." And we are told that the man looked at them. He gave attention. The reason he did this, in verse 5, expecting to receive something of them. Certainly, Peter and John have stopped to give me some silver and gold. So Peter and John have this man's full attention. Verse 6, and Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none, but I don't have any silver, I don't have any gold, but sir, I do have something for you. But such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ, that is it, by the power and by the authority of Jesus Christ, rise, stand up, and walk." This man, sitting at the gate of the temple, carried there daily, no doubt had heard many things about Jesus Christ. No doubt had heard many discussions concerning this person. Jesus Christ. And I believe when Peter and John said, "In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk," this man believed. This man had faith that by the power and authority of Christ, he could rise and he could walk. And as he began to move, Peter reached forth in an attempt to help him. But notice, it is recorded in verse 7, "And immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength." This is where his problem was. His problem was with his feet. His problem was with the bones in his ankles. And immediately, his feet and ankle bones received strength. That is, he felt something that he had never felt before. Then notice verse 8. "And," that is, as a result of his feet and ankle bones being strengthened, as a result of the strength that he received, he leaping or jumping up, stood. This man daily had been carried and laid at the gate of the temple. And now he's standing. He's standing. He's over 40 years old. He's been lame from the time of birth. Can you imagine the joy that fills this man's soul as he stands there? But it gets better. He not only stood, it says he walked. This man, over 40 years old, has never walked. But look at him. Look at him. He's walking. He stood, he's walking. And may I say, his entire outlook upon life, his entire purpose of living has now been changed. He was a new man. Notice what it says in verse 8. "Leaping up, stood and walked and entered with them," Peter and John, "into the temple." Daily he had been laid outside of that temple. And now he's walking, he's entering into the temple. Something he could have only dreamed about in the past. Something he could have only imagined in the past. And as he gets into the temple, what is he doing? Well, verse 8 says that he's walking. He takes a few steps. And then it says he would leap. That is, he'd hop, he'd skip, he'd run. It shows that he was excited about what had happened. And as he's walking and as he's leaping, it says in verse 8 that he is praising God. He is celebrating the miracle of the Lord that has taken place in his life. He has gone from being a crippled beggar, laying outside of the temple, to standing, walking, leaping, and praising God in the temple. What a change. The effect that all of this had upon the people that were present in the temple that day is recorded in verses 9 through 12. Think about the people that were in that temple. Many of them, of course, would have, on their way into the temple, had passed by this man. They saw him. They heard him. They heard him begging. No doubt, since the man had been laid there daily, and he's now over 40 years old, these people had seen this man many times. In fact, they had seen him so many times that they became accustomed to seeing him there. In fact, it would have been a rarity had there come a day and they were going into the temple and he wasn't there. They became accustomed to seeing this man. They knew his condition. They knew why he was there. And perhaps many of them cast some alms in his direction many times. But no matter how many alms they cast in his direction, the next day he was carried to that spot and he was laid there and he begged and pleaded with all who passed by. So they entered into the temple. They had passed this man. As they are sitting in the temple, keep in mind this man walks in the temple, he's leaping, he is praising God. There they are, they're sitting in the temple, they're praying, they are quiet, and all of a sudden they hear a shout of joy. And they look up. And there he is. There he is. He's walking and he is praising God. Verse 9 says, and all the people saw him walking and praising God. The very same people who just a little while ago saw him lying outside of the gate, begging, lame, unable to walk. And now they see him walking. They see that a change has taken place. Notice verse 10. And they knew that it was he which sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. They knew it was him. You could hear him say, hey, that's the guy that was outside laying at the gate of the temple. That's the guy that I've seen every day for years. That's him. That's him. Look at him. He's leaping. He's praising God. And the Bible says that in verse 10 that they were filled with wonder. That is, they were completely taken with awe and amazement. That is, they were completely astonished. They were stunned. And then notice what it says. At that which happened unto him. Now right now, they don't know what happened. But they know this. Something happened. This man never walked before. Something has happened to this man. And then people, they're so awestruck, they're so stunned at what they're now seeing. They rush unto Peter and John, and no doubt the lame man also. We see in verses 11 and 12, and Peter said unto them, Why are you looking upon us as if we had anything to do with what has happened to this man? And then you read the rest of the chapter. And Peter proceeded to preach Christ unto the people. And he called upon them to repent. We read in chapter 4 that over 5,000 people believed at the preaching of Peter. That brings us into chapter 4, verses 1 through 6, as Peter is preaching. The Sadducees, who were very disturbed by all that had gone on, and very disturbed at what Peter was now preaching, the Sadducees came and arrested them. We see in chapter 4 that it was eventide, that is, it was getting close to evening. So it was too late to put Peter and John on trial. So what they did is they held them until the next day. And then notice the next day what happened in verse 7. It's interesting, in verse 6 we read of Annas the high priest and Caiaphas. Remember their connection with the crucifixion of Jesus. Here they are again. But notice verse 7. And when they had set them in the midst, they asked, by what power or by what name, in what authority, have you done this? You see, the Sadducees believe that Peter and John made this man to walk. And they said, we want to know by whose authority you have done this. Verses 8 through 10, Peter says to these Christ haters, if you're asking how this lame man was miraculously transformed, he says, I want you to know. I don't want there to be any doubt about it. I want you to know with absolute certainty. Notice what he says in verse 10. He mentions the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom ye have rejected. Even by him doth this man stand here. Those are wonderful words. By him, this man stands here whole. These are words of hope. These are words that give hope to every lost sinner here today. These are words that ought to stimulate, ought to motivate, ought to inspire, ought to stir the hearts of all who have been saved by him. And it is from these words that we want to take the thought of the message this morning. By him does this man stand here whole. Notice again the latter part of verse 10. By him doth this man stand before you. You can all see he's whole. We want to consider some things about that statement relating to what we read in Acts chapter 3. By this man, by him doth this man, there he stands. A man of no real significance. In the entire account in Acts chapter 3, and in the entire account in Acts chapter 4, the man's name is never given. Not once. In Acts chapter 3 and verse 2, we simply read, and a certain man. In Acts chapter 3 and verse 10, we read, and they knew that it was he which sat for alms. And now here in Acts 4 and verse 10, Peter says, this man.
In Acts 4, verse 22, we read, for the man. And it tells us that he was then over 40 years old. That his name was never mentioned. Emphasizes the insignificance of this man. Why wasn't his name mentioned? Because it doesn't matter. This man was not noteworthy. This man was not a man of importance. This man was not a man of great consequence. He was not worthy. He was not deserving. And all guilty sinners before God are unworthy. They are undeserving. But read those words. By him doth this man who is so insignificant, there he stands. Oh. There he stands, a man who was born in a terrible, terrible condition. We read, and a certain man in Acts 3 and verse 2, lame from his mother's womb. This man was born with something so terribly wrong that he was unable to stand. He was unable to walk. You and I were born into this world with a terrible, terrible condition before God. A condition that rendered us unable to please God. A condition that rendered us unable to understand spiritual truths. A condition that rendered us unable to come to Jesus Christ. And that was this man. But read verse 10 again. This man, who was in such an awful condition, who was in a disabled condition, stands here before you. Oh. We see also, there he stands. A man who was truly lame. This man was so lame. He was so crippled that he had to be carried. That he had to be laid. Sat at the gate of the temple. It was not that he was sometimes lame, but from birth, every day, for over 40 years, he was lame. This man's condition was real. It was certain. It was unmistakable. It was unquestionable. There is nobody that could debate the condition of this man. He could not stand. He could not walk. It was not a subject that was open for debate. And yet we read in verse 10, this man who was unquestionably lame stands before you whole. Can you identify with this man? There he stands. A man who had lived his entire life a slave to his condition. For over 40 years, he lived as a lame man. And you know why he lived as a lame man? Because he was lame. You know why sinners live a life of sin? Because they're sinners. He lived a life that his condition dictated him to live. Again, we read that this man was carried and he was laid daily at the gate of the temple to ask of alms. Day after day. rain or shine, warm weather or cold weather, didn't matter. He was carried and he was laid at this place to beg with the passerbys. This was his life. This was his life. Every day he got up, he knew it was time to now be carried to the gate of the temple and laid there. And he knew what he was supposed to do, and to ask for alms. This was his life. And as you see him carried, and as you see him laid there at the temple, you see a picture of sorrow. You see a picture of pity. You see a picture of misery. You see a picture of gloom. You see a picture of helplessness. You see a picture of hopelessness. So there he is, a man lame from his mother's womb. And he's now over 40 years old. And no doubt he has the looks and he has the marks of a man who's been through the ringer. He looks like a man who's had a very difficult and trying and sad life. And there he is at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, crippled, begging. But notice verse 10. This man. This man who lived his entire life like a lame man stands before you whole. The unsaved sinner lives like an unsaved sinner without Christ. They live their lives without peace with God. They live their lives without rest. They live their lives without hope. They live their lives in the bondage of sin without the benefit of who and what Christ is. They live their life without a shepherd. And just like this lame man's condition, never allowed this man to know the joy and happiness of getting out of bed in the morning. This man never knew that joy and happiness. Why? Because of his condition. Lost sinner, you do not know the joy and the happiness that there is in the Lord, because you live like a lost sinner. Because that's your condition. Just like this lame man's condition never allowed him to know the liberty of walking from place to place, so the condition of the lost sinner will not allow you to know the liberty that is in Jesus Christ. He lived like a lame man. But I'm sure that over the course of over 40 years, that there were some joys in this man's life. That there were some moments of happiness. That there were some moments of satisfaction. But guess what? At the end of the day, he was a lame man. He was a lame man. No matter what joys he experienced in life, and I'm sure they were few, he was a lame man. No matter what a day brought forth, at the end of the day, he went to bed a lame man. And he woke up the next day a lame man. And so it is with the unsaved sinner. Unless Christ intervenes in your life today, you will go to bed tonight guilty before God. And you will wake in the morning a guilty sinner before God. And you will live your life as a guilty sinner before God. You're lost. You're unsaved. That's your condition. And that's the way you live. You can't help it. That's your nature. That's your condition. This man couldn't help but live like a lame man. That was his condition. He was a lame man. But read verse 10. This man who lived his entire life as a lame man stands here before you. Oh. There he stands. A man who could not be fixed. I'm sure that over the course of 40 years, that this man's parents, this man's relatives and friends tried various methods on various occasions to get him to walk. But no matter what they tried, no matter what they did, he was still lame. Perhaps they tried to encourage him to walk. But no matter how much encouragement they gave, he was still lame. Perhaps they sent him to the most skilled and learned people of the day and consulted with them, what should we do with him? But no matter who was consulted, he was still lame. You see, others could not give this man what he so desperately lacked and what he so desperately needed. And I'm sure over the course of over 40 years that there were many times that this man tried to pull himself up and walk. I'm sure there were many times where he tried various methods, various positions. Somehow, some way, I'm going to stand, I'm going to walk. But no matter how hard he tried, he was still a lame man. He was still a crippled man. No doubt there were many times over the course of 40 years that this man sat and watched other people walk about. And no doubt he thought to himself many, many times, oh, I wish I could do that. I wish I could just get up and walk. And perhaps he hoped and dreamed and aspired that maybe one day. But all his hopes, all his dreams, all his aspirations could not cause his legs to function. He was still a lame man. Lost sinner, you might have many dreams, many hopes, many aspirations, but none of them will change your condition. A guilty sinner before God. Day after day he's carried and laid daily at the gate of the temple to ask alms. And no doubt he would receive silver and gold. But no matter how many alms were cast at him by the religious people, he'd still have to be carried home and then carried back to the temple the next day. And just as no man and no amount of self-effort and aspirations and alms could give this man what he so desperately needed, so it is with the guilty sinner before God. You need forgiveness. You need cleansing. You need deliverance. You need righteousness. You need an acceptance with God. And nothing anyone else does will give you what you need. No matter how hard you try, you will not achieve these things. But read verse 10. This man, who no one else could fix, whose own self-efforts could not fix. And in spite of all his aspirations, could not be fixed. This man whom religious alms could not fix stands here before you. Oh. There he stands. A man that has been transformed. He stands before you whole. This man who's so insignificant, so unworthy, so undeserving. But look at him now. He's standing. And he's whole. This man who was so disabled, so helpless. Look at him. And hear Peter say, this man stands here before you. Oh. This man who, without a doubt, was lame. Look at him. And hear Peter say, this man stands before you. Oh. This man who had lived his entire life, over 40 years, as a lame man. This man stands here before you. Oh. This man who was in such desperate need, but could not be fixed and could not find what he needed in others or in self or in religion. Look at him. And hear Peter say, this man stands here before you. Oh. He's been healed. He's been restored. He's been made right. There has been a transformation. There has been an overhaul in this man's life. So how do we go from verse 2? A certain man lame from his mother's womb, carried and laid at the gate of the temple. How do we go from there to verse 7? And immediately, his feet and ankle bones receive strength. How did we go from verse 2 to verse 7? Peter standing in the midst of the Sadducees and the Pharisees and the religious people of his day says, I want there to be no doubt. By him, Jesus Christ of Nazareth, this man stands before you all. It is by him that you go from verse 2 to verse 7. How do you go from verse 2 to verse 8? Leaping up, standing, walking, entering the temple and praising God. By him. By him. How do you go from verse 2 to verse 10 in chapter 4? Listen carefully. Peter is going to tell us. He says, it's by him. It's by him. There he stands. All because of Jesus. We that are saved, we have passed from death unto life. We have been justified before God. Our sins have been forgiven. We have been reconciled to God. We have been redeemed from the curse of the law. We have been delivered. We have been rescued. We have been set free from eternal death and from the power of darkness and from the wrath to come.
It's all because of him. Seems to me that we ought to praise him. Seems to me that we ought to live for him. By him. By him we are children of God. By him we have been made accepted by God. By him we are citizens of heaven. In closing, verse 10, Peter says, I want you all to know, if you're asking how this lame man has been made whole, I want you all to know it's by him, Jesus Christ. Verse 11, this is the stone. That is, Jesus Christ of Nazareth is the stone which was set at naught of you builders. That is, it is Jesus Christ of Nazareth that has made this man whole, and you have neglected him. You have refused him. But then he adds, neither is there salvation in any other. For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. It's all because of him. I have been brought from verse 2 of Acts chapter 3 to verse 10 of Acts chapter 4. And now I stand whole. And it's all by him. One day, we will be entirely whole, completely healed. And again, it's by him. Remember back in chapter 3, they knew something happened to him. When the Lord saves your soul, people will know something's happened to them. They're not the same. Something has happened. And then you stand and you say, it's by him. I stand before you whole today. All because of him. Lost sinner, that's your only hope today. You say, well, I think there's other ways. Well, you just keep on trying those other ways, and tomorrow you'll wake up a lame man. You just keep trying to help yourself. Well, I just believe I got to do a better job. You just keep doing that. And at the end of the day, you'll still be a guilty sinner before God. There's only one thing that can change your life. There's only one who can change your condition, and that's him. Jesus Christ. You need to call out to him today. You need to come to him today. Brother Larry, if you'd come.